Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Thank you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, a.k.a. Wazzy Lambre, and I'm joined by my brother, my compadre, Nando Vila. What's going on?
Not much, man. Doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic, man. I'm still in New York City. You know what I'm saying? In the city where it's always gritty. You know what I mean?
How's that? You feeling good?
Yeah. I'm enjoying myself. I'm not going to lie. I do miss L.A. I won't lie. Like, I want to say last week for the first time, I've been gone from L.A. for like 3 weeks. I was like, man, I kind of do miss being back in my element, so to speak. But I'm enjoying it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Taking the train. You know what I mean? All kinds of craziness. Yo, I'm walking over here.
Yeah.
All kinds of craziness.
Eating pizza,
bulletproof Chinese. For people that are like, what the hell is bulletproof Chinese? Like, a lot of the Chinese food restaurants in New York, they serve you the food from behind a bulletproof glass wall, like window. Yeah. And they got to like turn the fucking thing to give you the food and take the money. But yeah, eating bulletproof Chinese, of course, some of the best Caribbean food on planet Earth, you know, Jamaican food, Haitian food. Yeah. So just enjoying that, catching up with the fam, catching up with the homies. So I'm enjoying New York, man.
Yeah. Nice.
But yeah, on today's show, I just wanted to talk about our guy, our comrade, Dr. Cornel West. He announced his candidacy for president, which I think is like pretty interesting because it's pretty fucking early, to be honest. But at the same time, what I thought was cool about it was he's not doing some Reverend Al Sharpton grift, or he's not even doing what I don't think Jesse Jackson in the MOVE campaign was a grift. I think they was legitimately trying to do something at first anyway. I don't think he's doing that either. He's doing a third party at first. He announced he was going to be running with the People's Party. It was quickly a lot of backlash. I guess the CEO of it is kind of a janky dude. He's got all kinds of bad press and Me Too allegations and all of that. But more importantly, like, they're on the ballot in three states. They don't have an actual party apparatus and infrastructure. And credit to Dr. West, he quickly changed course. He's like, all right, fuck these people.
Let's
go to the Greens. So he will be running with the Green Party. You guys will remember famously in 2016, Jill Stein. Remember when she calls Hillary Clinton the election?
She was working with Vladimir Putin on that. She was called up, hey, Vlad, what do I do to stop this bitch?
So yeah, we're just kidding about that part, guys. But yeah, she was one of the many things that got blamed on Hillary Rodham Clinton getting her clock cleaned by Donald Trump. Of course, before that, there was Ralph Nader, sort of, I would say, the realest third party presidential run. Maybe Ross Perot was just as real, but Ralph Nader, that would have been 2000.
2000,
yeah. He ran for president in 2000. And what do you remember about Ralph Nader's run, Nando?
Well, I remember very vividly because I was a huge Pearl Jam fan when I was a kid. They were like my favorite thing. And Eddie Vedder was a big Ralph Nader supporter, the singer of Pearl Jam. And he performed at Ralph Nader rallies. And that was like the early days of Napster. You know what I mean? Or not the early days. I guess it was just the days of Napster, where and I was like, I would download songs of like Eddie Vedder singing at Ralph Nader rallies and shit.
So like the bootlegs, you know, essentially.
Yeah.
Bootleg. It was Pearl Jam Ralph Nader bootleg.
That's right.
Performances. Yeah. I love that.
Yep. Yeah. And he ran. You know, Ralph Nader is like kind of, he's not like Bernie Sanders, who Bernie Sanders is a socialist. Like, Bernie Sanders ascribes to the political theory of Karl Marx,
and yes,
the tradition of socialism. And, you know, he has a very clear ideological agenda that, you know, that he fights for. Ralph Nader is not. He's a strange kind of heterodox liberal consumer advocate. You know, he comes to his positions from a kind of trying to be like a common sense, you know, I'm just advocating for the consumer. So like what the way he became famous was, is that in the 1960s, back then there were no seatbelt laws, you know, like a car company didn't even have to include seatbelts in their cars. They cost a little bit more money. Like, why would we include them? And back then, like if you got in a car crash, you basically died because like you had no seatbelts. You just fly through the fucking windshield. So Ralph Nader single-handedly led a campaign to pass seatbelt laws in every state against like the total, you know, the car companies were totally united to destroy this fucking guy. They tried to like plant hookers on him and shit, like entrap him and shit. Like there's all kinds of crazy stories about it. But Ralph Nader is such a fucking
yeah. We'd still do-gooder. Be dying for seatbelts if it was me trying to do that.
Oh man, yeah. So he's the opposite. He's like a total do-gooder, and he like it was just like, no, thank you, I'm okay. You know, like when a beautiful woman sauntered up to him at a hotel lobby or whatever. So in 2000, he decided to run because at the time, it's hard to think about it now, but basically at the time, especially certainly 1996 election and 2000 election, the overwhelming narrative was that there was very little difference between these two candidates. I mean, think about that for a second, you know,
between like, George Bush and
Al Gore. Yeah. That was the conventional wisdom, that it was all that the sort of major issues were, they were mostly in agreement. One of the big issues was that there was actually a budget surplus that year, which is crazy to think about. Yeah. And one of the big issues was, what are we going to do with this budget surplus? And there was the famous SNL sketch making fun of Al Gore because he kept on saying he wanted to put it in a lockbox away for like a rainy day, like when we'll need it, you know. It's funny that the Democrat was trying to be more fiscally conservative
but that's always the case.
That's always the case. Anyway, so the point being that there was this feeling that the election didn't really matter who won, which is weird to think about in hindsight because obviously 9/11 changed everything, and you know, we got the Bush administration and the Iraq war and all that stuff, but so Ralph Nader ran to try to break that duopoly, to try to just be like, hey, we can't have an election in which they're basically agreeing on everything and we're just arguing personality. The famous question, who would you rather have a beer with, was like a live issue in that election. And so, Bush would always win.
You know what's so funny, man, about that is I would say every election since 2008 has been framed in corporate media as the most important election of our lives.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And in 2000, I was like, eh.
it wasn't. That, it was seen like, as like
it's crazy to think that it's even possible to frame an election otherwise, right? But 2000 wasn't even that long ago.
And it goes even beyond that. Like it was almost considered uncool to care about it. You know, like you were seen as kind of hysterical if you were like, oh, are you going to vote? Because it's like, you're, look at this fucking crazy, fucking hysterical person. Now,
like you're an like, ideologue, like essentially.
Or just like, you know, just like a string, like an annoying kind of person, you know? Now, if you're like, no one would admit to being like, I actually don't give a shit who wins and I'm not going to vote. Like that's, no one would say that publicly, you know? That's completely.
We become hyper-political in an annoying way. Yeah.
Totally. Like everything is political now, like fucking, you know, the Sonic the Hedgehog movie or whatever. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know if it's The Little Mermaid or whatever, you know?
The Joker movie, the Joaquin movie that people were convinced was like some kind of like Proud Boys loving anthem. And I'm watching, I'm like, well, this movie is like saying that the system, like not having
it's a Bernie Bro movie.
Social welfare kind of turned this guy into a psycho. I don't think they're justifying his actions as much as they're trying to say that the system let this man fall through the cracks and it's a fucking shame. But whatever. Yeah, he was an incel in this. And I was just like, yo, y'all are kind of fucking stupid. But go ahead.
Yeah. So there's the question, you know, obviously that election was famously decided by 537 votes
in your home state of Florida.
The hanging chads, you know, and then the Supreme Court just gave it to Bush. I mean, in just kind of a crazy you know, in retrospect, very crazy thing. And then we got Iraq and we got all that shit. So there's this feeling that Ralph Nader, and certainly amongst Democrats, there's this feeling that Ralph Nader gave the election to Bush. Obviously, that has the convenient effect of leaving, letting Al Gore off the hook. Al Gore, a guy who is a senator from Tennessee, he lost
Tennessee.
Yeah, you know. And then with third party voters, you can't just like map them on a clean ideological line. You know, they're weirdos. Is what they are.
Yes.
And it's unclear whether, like, if they hadn't had the third party
that
vote,
they would have voted for one of the Democrats or Republicans.
Exactly. The guy that you think in your head is closer to the thing. Like, I'm telling you, Ralph Nader is not like Bernie Sanders. He attracted all kinds of weirdos across the ideological spectrum. You know, he was not a doctrinaire leftist. He was a little bit kind of like Ron. He wasn't like Ron Paul. I'm not saying it's the same thing, but it's the same effect.
His fan base was like
heterodox. Yeah. And like Ron Paul like attracts like kind of acid loving hippies who like go to fish concerts. And he also attracts like libertarian psychos who wear, you know, suspenders. You know what I mean? Like, right. And it's not clear. It's not exactly, you can't map them fully as like a Republican kind of standard. So that's the other thing I'll say about Ralph Nader is that, you know, obviously the Democrats love to push that line that had he not run, all of those votes would have gone to Gore and then he would have won. It's just impossible to prove that that's the case. Again, those 538 people, would 538 more people have voted? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they would have voted for the other guy. I mean, it's unclear.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise, but maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So yeah, I mean, it's a weird time to look back on. I highly recommend everyone watch the Billy Corbin documentary.
Yeah,
I think it's called 537 Votes or something about the election, about what happened in Florida.
It's absolutely incredible. Just
wild.
Just to compare it to our times now, like you said, Nando, the framing of an election as something that didn't matter either way is just impossible to fathom, you know, at this point. Like, it's just, people have gotten so psyched. It's so funny, man, because my buddy Ethan kind of pointed it out. He was like, Barry turned conservatives like into complete and utter psychopaths, and their politics turned insane. you know, there's this idea that Barack Obama turned conservative. Like he just, they just, it just broke their brain that this guy could win and then win twice. And their politics, especially on the furthest edges of, you know, right wingism, just became completely deranged because of it. And I think the exact same thing could be said about the libs. Like Donald Trump just fucking broke their brains and just made shit insane. And I think, Cornel West enters in, like, I've watched a few of his interviews because he's doing a shit ton of press to trying to get the word out. And obviously he is one of the greatest speakers, rappers of all time. It's like, yeah, it's not even a question to me. Like if you hear, to hear this man speak is to be absolutely rapt in, you know, his messaging. And he's just basically saying, he's not saying, oh, I don't see anybody filling the Bernie lane, but he's just saying like nobody's talking about the insane militarism of our culture. Nobody's talking about how poor and working people are struggling. Nobody's talking about, you know, the issues, just how insane and greedy the corporate class is, particularly in Wall Street. And, you know, Cornel West shouts to him. He's shouting out Silicon Valley. He's going nuts, right? And I think that's great, to be quite honest, because the truth of the matter is, like, no Democrat is going to say anything about Israel and Palestine. Like, they just browbeat the shit out of RFK, and this is a dude who was willing to be anti-vax. And he came out and admitted that the Palestinians were humans who deserved dignity and some level of, you know, treated with some level of humanity. And he got beaten the fuck back by the Washington establishment in foreign policy, right? And, you know, the same thing would happen to Marianne Williamson if she was a quote-unquote Democrat. And so I think it's interesting that Cornell is doing this. And I just want to see how far he could take it and how much rabble-rousing he can do. Ultimately, the powers that be would never actually let him get on a stage with Joe Biden for real. I wonder if he could get an audience with Trump. but probably. Yeah, but I think it's just awesome that he's even doing this at all, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I in general agree that him running is a good thing. I just wish he would have run. I wish he would have done like Bernie and like Jesse Jackson and run as Democrat. I mean, there's no reason why he couldn't. It would have caused a lot more of a stir, which is the whole fucking point. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, if you look at the history of third parties in America, their track record is pretty clear, and it's been one of abject failure.
And that, yeah.
And, you know, I wonder if he ran as a Democrat, if he would be able to recreate some of that Bernie magic. I mean, when Bernie ran as a Democrat, the first time when he walked out on that fucking under that tree outside the Senate building, he's like, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I am running for president. Thank you very much. And then he everyone was like, look at this fucking guy. And, but then like,
what a joke.
Yeah. And then like a week later, he has a rally in somewhere and like 50,000 people show up and you're like, wait a minute, you know? I wonder if that it just feels like the third party thing has a hard ceiling these days. Mm. You know, that it just, it's not like it used to be. The openings are much lower. You know, you're just always going to be seen as a sideshow freak. No one's going to really take you seriously. Whereas Jesse Jackson and Bernie Sanders, even though they lost, they got close. I mean, they got close. You know, and that would have even a, you know, had they even won the nomination, it would have been just absolutely historic. And they were able to rally millions of people and win several states and get people behind them. I just wonder if you can't do that as a third party. I mean, it hasn't happened since Ross Perot, although he was self-funding his campaign, very important little data point there.
Yeah, he's
rich as hell and he was funding it himself. So, you know, he was able to have a head start that allowed him to then garner that mass support. You know, so that would be my only my only thing is like, why? I wonder why he decided not to run as a Democrat.
I think, I mean, to listen to his interviews, because he was so close to Bernie, like they're literally bros, during Bernie, both of Bernie's campaigns, and because he got to see up close and personal the treachery of the corporate wing of the Democratic Party establishment, I think that kind of just dissuaded him from even trying. It's just like, these motherfuckers are corrupt and they will use the most evil, most twisted ways to quash your shit. So there's that. But, you know, even people like Nina Turner, right,
but
has decided to work within the Democratic Party system, right?
But let's look at that point, that they'll use all the evil shit to quash them, which is true. You know, of course it's true. They don't even need to do anything to quash a third party candidate.
Right.
They don't even need to do shit.
Yeah, the media will ignore you.
The media will do the work for them. Yeah.
You'll just get no headway. Like, there'll be no reason to include you on any town hall or whatever. Like, they could shut you out if they want to. Now, if you're a Democrat, they kind of got to deal with you. I think it's going to be, it'll be different because of Joe Biden's incumbency and they're already fucking closing ranks. And just like, yeah, RFK, like, you can fuck around if you want to, but like, this shit ain't happening for you, Jack. So
But look how much attention he's getting.
He's getting a lot of attention. But yeah.
And he's actually rallying a decent amount of support. He's the fact that he is getting, imagine Cornel West.
Yeah, facts.
Doing that. Like, Cornel West is, like you said, is the greatest, one of the greatest speakers to ever live. Yeah. You know? RFK has a poor guy. He's got like a problem. He literally can't speak, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah.
And he's anti-vax and he's a fucking weirdo.
And he's anti-vax.
Yeah. So, you know? And he's getting way more attention than you would think. It's because he's running as a Democrat.
Yeah. But he's already in Congress too, right? Like, I think that part of it kind of helps. There's a certain patina of quote unquote seriousness involved in it. I just wonder how much, because the coolest thing about Bernie is that Hillary Clinton had to sort of confront.
RFK is not a congressman.
Oh, he's not a congressman?
No, he's just a fucking guy.
Why did I think he was a fucking congressman in Massachusetts? Where did I get that idea from? Maybe
no,
I just
that's the other. That's the other Kennedy, the fucking redheaded shithead.
Joe Kennedy,
ginger, the little guy. Yeah, the young guy.
Okay. That's why I got fucking confused. Yeah, but so then you're right. There's no reason why.
Yeah, he's just a fucking guy.
Yeah, yeah. Facts.
I mean, he's a Kennedy, I guess, but you know, yeah.
So. The thing about Bernie's campaign, as I was saying, like on those debate stages, like he really pants Hillary Clinton like 50 million times on the merits of the issues of, you know, fight for 15 and all this other shit. Like he was killing her, you know, and by the way, these points have only become more salient. And I think they have even more of an audience now. You know, I was reading our guy, man, shouts to him, Zachary Carter in the New Yorker. And he was talking about, I forget the fucking woman's name. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting your name.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
But essentially, she put out an article in The Guardian, like in 2021, saying, like, you know, instead of just doing the same old dumb shit that we always do to solve inflation, which is raise interest rates and, you know, artificially increase unemployment for no fucking reason to just punch lower class people in the face. Why don't we just put price caps on certain consumer goods? Why don't we just do that? These goods that have, you know, this sort of domino effect, stuff like gas and, you know, computer chips or whatever.
The government could do that.
Easily just put price caps. We've done it
before.
Just
say gas costs this much. Sorry.
That's it. We'll figure out a way to offset what you are quote unquote losing. And we'll keep it pushing that way. We're the government. We can afford to pay for this shit. Why don't we do that? We did it after World War II during wartime. You know, we should be doing this. And she got absolutely fucking smoked. Paul Krugman, damn near liberal ass Paul Krugman, damn near called her the C word behind this. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was insane, the backlash. And now Germany's already implemented this. Other places like Japan, all of these other places, just like, bro, like the fucking accepted orthodoxy around the thinking around inflation and certain concepts in economics, like, we don't have to follow that. Which what I'm saying is, if these fucking pointy heads and actual people in power are more receptive to it, trust me, normal people who are feeling the actual effects of this shit every single day are going to be more receptive to this message. And to your point, I think it would be cool if Dr. West was able to do that shit on a sort of grander stage. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I always support him, dude. He's the fucking best.
Yeah, I would support him.
His Joe Rogan episode was magical.
I was going to say that. If you do anything between now and the weekend, I know folks will be celebrating Juneteenth, Nando. I don't know if you will be. I don't know if you know, it's Juneteenth weekend. Yeah, it's a national holiday. I don't know what to tell you. You don't got work on Monday because of it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thank you for all your sacrifices.
Do yourself a favor. Go watch Cornel West on the Joe Rogan Experience, bro. I promise you. Like, I promise you, you will be moved. You will have the feelings stirring within you. Joe Rogan was absolutely rapt.
Mesmerized.
He was like, yo, this guy is fucking brilliant. Like, you know, like the Any Given Sunday speech when Al Pacino gives the inches speech and everybody's just like, wow, I will fucking murder a guy.
And we scratch with our fingernails for that inch.
That was Joe Rogan and Cornel West in that interview, man. And so,
and listen, liberals hate Joe Rogan, and I get it, but you got to understand, Joe Rogan is like the median guy in America.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So, like, I know so many people who think just like him, you know? Yes. They're just like, you know?
Yes.
Like, he's the median guy in America. If you can't talk to a guy like Joe Rogan, and
then you can't talk to America. Yeah. It's that, it's kind of that simple. It's just an excellent interview, bro. And so, everybody go check that out. That is our show for today. Of course, again, wishing everybody a happy Juneteenth. I'm not really, it's a weird holiday. We kind of just shoehorned it in because of the tragic death of George Floyd, and the powers that be were like, I don't know, let's give him a fucking holiday. I don't fucking know. And so we have this federal holiday now. And trust me,
nobody's
happier about days off than me. Okay. And so happy Juneteenth, all those who celebrate. Become a Patreon at patreon.com/countthedings. Shouts to my man John Gervais. He's the best. Keeps the trains running on time. We'll see you guys next week. Peace out.